Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, March 31st, 2022. Fort Stockton ISD staff to receive compensation for gas prices spike, by Nathan Hewer. In an effort to compensate their employees for the recent spike in gas prices and keep the Fort Stockton Independent School District campuses clean, the FSISD school board approved a one-time stipend to teachers at their regular meeting on March 28th. Employees of the district were given the option to sign a contract with cleanliness stipulations in order to receive the payment. Staff members were not obliged to sign the contract and were given the option to decline. The terms of the contract were that staff members must pick up trash if they come across it on school campuses, an effort that aids in keeping Fort Stockton ISD campuses clean. This was something that was inspired because of the spike in gas prices, said Superintendent Gabriel Zamora. Since the beginning of the year, I've always preached if you come across a piece of trash, if it's in your way, pick it up. Let's help out our maintenance staff. With this pay hike, this is something we can do to help our staff. Times are tough, and in order to legally do this, the money has to be accepted by our employees in the form of additional duties. According to Zamora, a majority of staff within the school district agreed to sign the contract and follow through with the agreement. Employees who signed the dotted line were given a one-time stipend of $150. Fort Stockton ISD staff will now have an incentive to register to vote in the upcoming May election, which features two contested school board races and a bond election. Campuses and departments that have 90% of their employees registered to vote will be able to wear jeans and sneakers to work for the remainder of the current school year. The Apache campus and technology department have already accomplished the feat before Monday's meeting. I'll commend Apache and technology for already achieving 100% in voter registration. They got that done very quickly. The voter registration deadline is April 7th. County cleanup dates are set. In addition, in conjunction with the City of Fort Stockton, the Pecos County Commissioner's Court set the dates for the county cleanup for April 11th through the 29th. The first week will aid the city in their spring bulky pickup. Acceptable items include furniture, mattresses, large plastic toys, appliances, water heaters, and scrap metal. Yard waste, grass clippings, and other small clippings will be accepted in paper waste bags. Residents should cut brush and tree limbs into pieces less than 4 feet long and bundled with string and twine. Refrigerators, freezers, and air conditioners will only be picked up if the Freon has been removed by a licensed technician with the sticker attached. Construction, paint, and hazardous materials will not be accepted. The new City Recycle Center is also open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for residents who wish to recycle any paper, plastic, cardboard, or glass. Rental and deposit fees set for the Kainosa Community Center. The Commissioner's Court approved the rental and deposit fees for the new Kainosa Community Center at Monday's meeting. The center is expected to seat about 240 people with tables and chairs in the main area. Upon recommendation by Commissioner Santiago Cantu, the court unanimously approved that residents can rent the small meeting room for $100 with a $100 deposit. The whole facility can be rented out for $250 with a $250 deposit. Judge Joe Schuster directed the court to include the kitchen in the main rental fee for the whole facility. You need the prices to be the same no matter what, Schuster said. You don't want to say $250 for the ballroom and another $100 for the kitchen. That should be the same price. In making their decision, the commissioners compared the prices of similar spaces in neighboring towns. The Pecos County Civic Center, which seats about 700 people, charges $300. If the space is cleaned up after the event, the deposit is returned to the person who rented the facility. The Fort Stockton Large Community Hall, which seats about 175 people, charges $450. The Iran Community Center charges $150 and a $300 deposit. Consolidated precincts for joint election. Voters can expect to see that some precincts will be consolidated for the May 7th special joint election. Registered voters of precincts 3 and 5 will be consolidated with 4. Voting in the special joint election will be conducted at the Ira Ann Senior Citizens Center. The voting period will be from 8 to 5 p.m. April 25th through May 3rd. Polling places open during the time include the Pecos County Annex, Imperial Community Center, and Ira Ann Senior Citizens Center. The Kynosa Community Center will only be available for early voting on April 25th and 26th. Diaz receives Service Award at Precinct 1. Eugenio Diaz was awarded a service pin today for his 10 years of service with the Pecos County Precincts. Diaz has worked for the Road and Bridge Department for 3 different precincts in the county. He's currently an equipment operator in Precinct 1. Your guide to local places to go and things to do. A Chamber of Commerce ribbon cutting will be held at Joe's Place in Fort Stockton on March 31st at 5 p.m. Joe's Place is located at 216 West 1st. Panther Pictures will show The Lost City from April 1st to the 3rd, located at the Fort Stockton Convention Center Complex. Showtime of the movie on April 1st will be 7 p.m. Showtimes on April 2nd will be 3 p.m., 5:30, and 8. Showtimes on April 3rd will be at 3 and 5:30. To purchase tickets, visit www.pantherpicturesfs.com. Spring at the Patio featuring Charlie Cope will be held at Annie Riggs Museum on Friday, April 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. Panther Pictures in Fort Stockton will host their first teen night on Saturday, April 2nd at 10:30 p.m. The theater will show The Lost City. You must be between 13 and 19 years old to attend. Keep Historic Fort Stockton Beautiful will be participating in the Don't Mess with Texas Trash Off event on April 9th. The event is the single largest one-day cleanup event for the state of Texas. This event serves as Texas' signature event for the Great American Cleanup, the nation's largest community improvement program. The Keep Historic Fort Stockton Beautiful Trash Off will be April 9th from 9 to 2 at Rooney Park. The Lions Club in Fort Stockton will host an Easter egg hunt at Rooney Park from 11 to 1 p.m. on Saturday, April 16th. Free hot dogs and drinks will be provided. There will be over 8,000 eggs to find. The Healthy Cooking School in Fort Stockton hosted the Celebrate a World of Flavors event at the Large Community Hall in Rooney Park on March 24th. The event featured live cooking demonstrations by Abigail Pritchard with the Midland County AgriLife Extension Office and Karen Helfelfinger, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service Agent in Fort Stockton. Local vendors gathered at the event to sell goods and provide free food samples to those interested. One of the group's founders, the late Arla Humphrey, was honored at the event with a posted collage of pictures that was put together by Fort Stockton insurance owner and granddaughter, Pam Palaleo. Midland College WRTTC hosted a retirement reception for Elizabeth Lara. She was employed by the college for 15 years. Her last day will be Thursday, March 31st. She was previously employed at the Scholars Dollars Coordinator and the secretary at the campus in Fort Stockton. Gene Cummings Park to receive additions. Gene Cummings Park in Fort Stockton could soon be one of the top outdoor attractions in Fort Stockton with the planned renovations and additions by the city's Economic Development Corp. The earliest addition will be a new $60,000 walking trail that will feature the nearby Helen Dionne Memorial Garden, which was approved at the meeting on March 17th. The trail will be 1,800 feet, equivalent to just over a third of a mile. a basketball court with an overhead pavilion and a water reclamation system for the existing spray park were discussed and agreed upon, but not officially approved due to additional bids that had not been received. The sidewalks were breaking ground on next month, Fort Stockton EDC Director Ramey Ramos said, "We're working on solidifying bids because of costs of metal and availability of metal. Pavilion with court is $300,000 to $400,000 range. The walking trail was worth about $60,000 worth and $40,000 worth of pumps. The court and pavilion will be placed adjacent to the sand volleyball courts," according to Ramos. "The water reclamation system will reuse the water that is drawn by the spray park each day for irrigation of grass in the park at night. What we're doing is creating a pump system that will catch the water, pump it into a holding tank. From there to at night, we drain the water from the holding tank and spread the water out through the park with the irrigation system. Then the cycle would start again the next day. Instead of having to rotate to conserve water, this park would be watered as much as needed because we'd be using reclaimed water instead of fresh from the tap." A Look at People Traveling Through Fort Stockton by Jeremy Gonzalez. Who can resist a scoop of cold ice cream on a hot, sunny day? Certainly not Mojing and his border collie, Oreo. The duo walked into the Mesquite Tree coffee shop last week with a specific order in mind. "I'll take two scoops of homemade vanilla, please. One for me and one for Oreo. I named him Oreo because he's black and white. We're actually headed to San Jose right now. This town is much bigger than I expected. We've been passing a lot of small towns on the road." When asked why he stopped at Fort Stockton, Mojing gave all of the credit to his wife, Olivia. "This was all my wife's idea," he said, smiling. "She looked up coffee shops online and told me to come here to the Mesquite Tree. She's at home navigating my path and all my stops. She would have loved to have come to this on this trip, but she couldn't make it this time." Grabbing his cups of ice cream, he knelt down to serve Oreo his creamy dessert. "We both love Bluebell's homemade vanilla," Mojing said. "It's our favorite. I'm not sure what kind of coffee I'm going to order. I like to drink the flat white at Starbucks. I'm very surprised they have both coffee and ice cream here. That's a great idea, especially for summer. I didn't expect to come to such a nice place. It's actually very cozy in here." After politely holding the cup steady to feed Oreo his ice cream, Mojing finally found an opportunity to enjoy a spoonful for himself. Taking his first bite, he paused and then concluded, that's good."
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, March 24th. Council appoints new city attorney. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. After meeting in executive session at the end of Tuesday's council meeting, and after reconvening into regular session, council members voted to appoint a new city attorney for the city of Monahans, effective April 1st. Monahans native Justin Till was appointed to the position and will replace current appointed city attorney Alan Nicholas. Nicholas was appointed to the position after longtime city attorney Hal Upchurch resigned in 2018. Quote, "Nicholas has not resigned as city attorney. According to the city charter, the council appoints a city attorney every 2 years. Whether it be the same appointment or not is up to the council," City Manager Rex Thee said. Till will serve a 2-year term, which will end on March 31st, 2024. He will be paid $2,000 per month retainer fee and reimbursed for reasonable expenses for participating in any city-related activity or training. Till earned his law degree in 2016 from St. Mary's University School of Law and was admitted to the State Bar in December 2019. Till currently practices with Elida Group in Midland and has previously worked for the office of Representative Greg Bonin as the Chief of Staff and General Counsel, office of Congressman Francisco Canseco as a field representative, and also worked as a field director for the Drew Darby campaign. In a statement sent to the news, Nicholas said, quote, "It's been my distinct pleasure to serve the people of Monahans and Ward County for many years now. I intend to continue the service for many years to come. I began as an assistant district attorney, then I became the county attorney and city attorney. Most recently, I picked up the mantle of assistant district attorney again, along with those other positions. As my final term as city attorney comes to a close at the end of this month, I look forward to putting all of my energies into prosecuting felonies and misdemeanors in Ward County as your county attorney and assistant district attorney. I'm proud to have served the city attorney, but this will allow me to focus more on those prosecutions, providing the best representation of the state that I can, and keeping our streets and county safe. On April 1st, 2022, Justin Till will begin his service as the new city attorney of Monahans. I'm confident that he will do an excellent job, and it's great to see a Monahans native coming back to take up that mantle. Now it's time to get back to work, so thankful for the continuing opportunities to serve the citizens of our city, county, and state." End quote. Along with Thee, present were council members Jeppy Wilson, Rudy Hernandez, Calvin Carroll, and Richard Hawkins, as well as Mayor Adam Steen. Councilmember Ivy Valenzuela was absent. In other business, a public hearing was scheduled regarding a rezoning request from Adriel Sotelo of 901 South Dwight. Quote, "We will not hold the public hearing or take any action on the first reading of the rezoning because the Planning and Zoning Board denied this request earlier today in their meeting," Thee said. Sotelo wanted to add two kitchens, two bedrooms for a guest house and in-law suite to the property. Council members also approved a request to close 5th Street between Allen and Calvin Streets from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. on April 24th. The request was submitted by Crossroads Church, who will host a Sunday Funday activity. The Sunday Funday will include face painting, a train, gaming truck, and more. In first readings, Ordinance 1297 was also approved, which suspends a rate increase requested to help offset cost of infrastructure work for gas service. Texas Gas Service requested a suspension until June, thereby giving cities more time to review the increase. If approved after the 45 days, customers in the incorporated areas would see an increase in the average residential bill by $1.22 per month, Thee added. The council also approved to take no action on the Consumer Price Index adjustment to municipal telecommunications right-of-way access line rates. Quote, "No action is action and an acceptance to the increase," Thee said. The increase will be 2.53%. The next opportunity to adjust rates will be September 2022. The next city council meeting will be held at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, April 12th, in council chambers at City Hall, 112 West 2nd Street. Damage to swimming pool brings delay. Business manager Sarah Harris resigns. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. The wind damage of February 17th to a wall of the new Monahans High School swimming pool that is currently under construction will cause about a 6 to 8 week delay in completing the project, architect R.J. Lopez of Park Hill Architects told the trustees of the Monahans Wicked Pyote ISD during Monday's meeting. Quote, "We are still waiting on the final report from engineers, but we expect it to be completed soon. The west wall has been removed, and part of the north wall will likely be replaced," Lopez said. Lopez also provided status of bond projects currently underway. Walker Junior High is 99% complete, with completion expected in May. High School Phase 1 of the new choir room, auditorium, administration office, and library should be completed in May. High School Phase 2 for completion of the natatorium, cafeteria, and kitchen is set for a December 2022 completion. High School Phase 3 for the gyms, locker rooms, and sports complex is set for August 2023. In 2023, the athletic complex, school administration, Cullender Kindergarten, and Tatum Elementary classrooms is also set for completion in August 2023. Quote, so far, $60 million has been spent on projects of the $132 million total project. Everything is within budget. Quote, the bids from Lee Lewis for the bus barn project was much higher than we expected, $3.5 million, so we recommended seeking bids from other vendors for this project. We recommend using the scoring methodology that we used before to seek bids, Lopez said. The trustees approved the scoring methodology to be used for the bus barn project, which is expected to be in the $2 million range. District Superintendent Chad Smith advised the board that business manager Sarah Harris has tendered her resignation effective at the end of the school year. No board action was needed, as her contract ends at the end of the current school year. The resignation of Laura Brandenburg, a math teacher at Walker Junior High, was also acknowledged. An informative presentation by Mike Curtis, general manager of National Bus Sales, reviewed possible replacements for the district's activity buses. These ultra coachliner vehicles are built on a Freightliner chassis and could be potential replacements for the Van Hool motor coaches currently in use by the district. Quote, the Van Hool coaches are not really designed as activity buses. They are designed for continuous highway use and not for the occasional use. They are also very expensive to maintain, and initial purchase price is higher. Quote, the Ultra coaches are about half the acquisition cost, safer with the engine in front, and fireproof flooring. They are also easier to maintain with better access to the powertrain. Any diesel mechanic can work on these, whereas the Van Hool motor coaches require specialized mechanics, Curtis said. The trustees voted to cancel the May 7th election for incumbent school board Place 2 trustee Raymond Reyes, who is unopposed. The cancellation order also certifies Reyes as being reelected to the post. Place 4 incumbent trustee Joel Greiner is being challenged by Steve Tuxhorn, and the May 7th election will proceed for that post. See separate story. The monthly financial reports and disbursements for February was approved. In a related financial action, a budget amendment transferring $900,000 from the fund balance to building improvement construction was approved. The transfer is for new track resurfacing at the athletic complex and improvements to the turf on the football field. Trustees present for the meeting were Bobby Almanza, Donna Garcia, Raymond Reyes, Joel Greiner, Nancy Upchurch, and Steve Fine. Trustee Quint Melius was not present. The next meeting of the trustees will be held on April 18th at 6:30 p.m. in the boardroom of the District Administration Building, 606 South Betty Avenue. School Trustee Greiner draws challenger. The story was written by Paul Cyphers. Monahans Wicket Paiute ISD trustee election for District 4 will be held on May 7th at the School Administration Building, 606 South Betty Avenue. Incumbent Joel Greiner is being challenged by longtime Monahans resident Steve Tuxhorn. Both Greiner and Tuxhorn filed their intentions to seek election to the post before the December 20th, 2021 deadline. With the filing deadline and the February 22nd deadline to file as a write-in candidate both expired, the May 7th election is set. The district trustees ordered the election during their December 14th, 2021 meeting for District 2 held by Raymond Reyes, and District 4, held by Griner. District 2 trustee Reyes does not have a challenger, so the election for the District 2 seat was canceled during Monday's March 21st meeting, and Reyes was declared re-elected to the post. Early voting for the District 4 election will be Monday, April 25th, until Tuesday, May 3rd, at the School Administration Building. Voting hours will be from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. On the May 7th election day, polls will be open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., also at the School Administration Building. The last day to apply for a ballot by mail must be received by Tuesday, April 26th, and mail ballots must be received by 7 p.m. on May 7th at the School Administration Building. The last day to register to vote will be April 7th. MEDC okays fix for a drainage problem. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. Meeting in regular session on Monday, members of the Monahans Economic Development Board approved a bid from Brett Construction for $236,000 for the Monahans Parkway intersection flooding conveyance. The motion was tabled during last month's meeting in anticipation of receiving another bid for the project. Quote, "Another bid was received, but it looks like this will be all the bids we get for this project," MEDC Director Ashley Adalto said. The second bid came from Edgardo Madrid and Associates for $251,000. Member Richard Irwin said, quote, "The bids are high, but we've been holding on this too long. I think we need to go ahead and approve the bid from Brett Construction," end quote. City Manager Rex Thee agreed with Irwin, and the motion passed. The road maintenance will fix drainage issues on Monahans Parkway, where it intersects with the I-20 access road. In December, the project received a bid which was three times higher than expected. The bid was originally sent out to five companies, two of which said they don't have time, and one said they would not dig. Work for the project will begin as soon as Brett Construction's schedule allows and is expected to be complete in a few weeks' time. Board members attending the meeting were Richard Irwin, Eddie Nelms, Hal Upchurch, and Brian Franks, and Leticia Rodriguez. In other business, board members agreed to deed the 12.4-acre tract of land to Ward County for the new sheriff's office and jail. Ward County commissioners recently selected a site for the new Ward County jail. The commissioners had the choice of one of three parcels of land, which are all currently owned by MEDC along Seeley Avenue. Site 1 is a parcel behind the old Sunset Motel. The second choice was behind and between Site 1 and the Archway Club, while the third choice was a bit further west and behind the Archway Club. Each location was estimated at 12 acres. Quote, "The site chosen was the second location, as the dimensions are more conducive to the needs for the jail and will provide better access from Seeley Avenue, Business 20, and the East Monahan subdivision along Interstate 20, MEDC Director Ashley Adalto said. "Since the land has been deeded over to the county, activities will begin to clear the land and hire an architect specializing in jail construction this summer." In other actions, Carol Faulkner presented the status of the broadband project as well as the quarterly reporting associated with the $1.5 million federal EDA grant. In regular business, the directors approved accounts payable totaling $18,900, which included $6,600 to Maverick Engineering for a commercial master planning study phase 1, $6,100 for payroll salaries, $3,100 for phone, insurance, maintenance, and fuel, $1,100 to Cotton Bledsoe Tye and Dawson for LOA contract dispute, and $600 to Monahan's Rotary for annual dues. The financial report reflecting a balance of $2.2 million in available funds and minutes of the February 22nd regular meeting were approved. The board convened an executive session to discuss perusing litigation with LOA Investments with attorney. After reconvening into regular session, Adalto said, quote, "The board agreed to pursue litigation against LOA Investments in order to clear the title on the residential land north of 12th Street," end quote. City Code Enforcement explained. The story was written by Jan Cranfill. A recent social media post caused some misinterpretation by Monahan's residents concerning the enforcement of city code ordinance violations. Monahan's Police Department officer James Whitmire will be commissioned through the police department after he has completed the required training to become a licensed code enforcement officer. According to City Manager Rex Thee, quote, "Officer Whitmire has taken training courses and will continue the training courses for about another year under Code Enforcement Officer Richard Covington, at which time he will be eligible to become licensed as a Code Enforcement Officer. Some junk vehicles, described as inoperative and/or partially dismantled, expired license tags or inspection sticker, can be subject to a ticket for citizens." Quote, "If a vehicle is parked in plain view in someone's yard or at the curb and is in a state of disrepair or has expired license tags, the owner can be ticketed," Thee said. "Owners who are repairing vehicles can park the vehicle in plain view." Quote, "Junk vehicles concealed by a fence are not considered to be a violation," he added. "A residential homeowner's property extends to the middle of the alley, which needs to be kept free of debris and weeds by the owner. According to city code, landowners are responsible for the removal of trash on their property. Weeds and grass need to be kept cut shorter than 9 inches tall. Plants near street corners are limited to a 3-foot maximum height. A clearance of 10 feet is required for trees near a street corner to provide an unobstructed view of traffic. Plants cannot interfere or obstruct a sidewalk. A $10 garage sale permit is required for garage sales and is good for 3 consecutive days. Garage sales are limited to 2 per year per property. Signs are not allowed on public streets, utility poles, or street corners. Quote, "Commercial vehicles in excess of 2 tons are not allowed to be parked in any residential areas, offices, streets, or alleyways. They can be parked on the street in a commercially zoned area," Thee said. "A red parking violation notice will be placed on vehicles that are in violation of the city codes. The owner will have 10 days to comply with removal of the offending vehicle. If the vehicle is not removed within the allotted time, a wrecker or towing service will be notified to remove the vehicle at the owner's expense. If a vehicle is towed from a resident's property, the owner is then responsible for contacting the towing service and making arrangements to retrieve the vehicle. Any police officer can issue tickets or warnings concerning ordinance violations. Citizens with any questions about any of the city code of ordinances can call City Hall at 432-943-4343 between 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or by visiting the City of Monahan's website and looking under the tab titled City Code of Ordinances.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.